For our scripture reading this afternoon, we turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. We'll read this chapter and then we'll turn to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 5. And our text comes from the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Let's read first Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. The text is Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. How about let's read the first six verses of that chapter. Matthew chapter 5, let's read the first six verses. "And seeing the multitudes, he," Jesus, "went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And now verse 6 will be the text. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And we'll stop the reading of God's word there. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, we don't We don't see it so much here in Canada and here in North America, but when you look around the world, in undeveloped countries and in third world countries, what you will see is great economic poverty. It's a poverty that runs so deep that people lack the very basic necessities of food and water. And those of us who are older can remember decades ago where it wasn't uncommon to be bombarded with images of starving, needy children from all over the world, destitute families along with their children, and if only you'd give so much money, you could help out this starving child, you could help out this needy family. And there are people nowadays in so many countries who are very, very poor, who have little money, if any money at all, to purchase even the very basic necessities of life. And we associate this state of hunger and thirst with great misery. We associate that state of hunger and thirsting with great affliction. And we pity those who find themselves in such difficult situations. What a miserable thing it must be to live in that near constant state of hunger and thirst. Our Lord Jesus, however, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, says the opposite. And this is something that now runs contrary to the thinking of the world. From a natural point of view, yes, a lack of food and water, well, that's not the occasion for great joy, but that's the occasion for disappointment and sorrow and bitterness. The only way to be happy is to somehow get out from underneath that state of perpetual hunger and thirst. But Jesus says that those who hunger and thirst are the most blessed people, are the most happy people imaginable. Blessed are those, happy are those who hunger and thirst. Now, Jesus is pronouncing his blessing upon those who hunger and thirst in a certain way, not speaking in physical terms, but speaking about spiritual realities. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. So that pictured for us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 is a man, a woman, a child who is blessed by God when that person has a ravenous appetite for Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And when a person leads such a life, when they show themselves to be in such a state of hunger and thirst, hungering and thirsting at bottom for Jesus Christ, then no matter their earthly situation, that person is blessed by God. For our applicatory sermons, we've been exploring these beatitudes, and that word beatitude or blessed is a word that simply means happy. It's that first word in all of these beatitudes, the word blessed, and it's speaking of an inner joy and peace that the child of God has, knowing that he is right before God. Happiness now, and earth outward happiness is part of it, but it's a happiness that transcends all earthly circumstances. It's a happiness knowing that God's favor rests upon me. And that's why one who is blessed or happy can rejoice even under very difficult and distressing circumstances, can rejoice in a state of physical hungering and thirsting, as you can be sure that poor man Lazarus did in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, can rejoice and be glad when he or she is privileged to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. From the point of view of the flesh, that's not fun. Outwardly, there's pain and misery, but inwardly, there's peace and contentment and even joy, knowing we suffer all these things for the sake of our Savior. So this afternoon we come now to the fourth beatitude. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Theme of the sermon, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Let's look at what that means. Secondly, the manner, that is, how we show it. And finally, the blessedness. Now that chapter that we read earlier, Isaiah 55, that sets forth for us in those opening verses a person who is hungry and thirsty. Verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. So it's setting forth a kind of person who is thirsty and who is hungry. And Jesus also in the text in Matthew 5, verse 6, speaks of one who is hungry and thirsty. Have you ever experienced that kind of a hunger? Ever experienced an extreme hunger? Or have you ever been brought to the point where you thought you'd die if you couldn't get a drink of water soon? I doubt any of us could say that. As for our grandparents, great-grandparents, and beyond, our ancestors who lived during very difficult times, during the Great Depression, during the time of war, perhaps they could say it. But you don't have to be starving to death to realize that the hunger and thirst spoken of, it speaks of a great want and a strong desire in our bodies that needs to be met. So that you think of a slave who's working out in the field all day long, and the master won't allow for any breaks, and noontime rolls by, and the afternoon goes on, and that man working in the field is getting hungrier and hungrier, and he's imagining all of that good food that he will be able to enjoy at the very end of the day when he's allowed to go home. That man is hungry. Or think of that man stranded in the desert during the heat of the day, and he grows thirsty and more thirsty. And after a while, the thought of water simply drives him mad. He's looking for water, but there's no water to be found. Well, in either case, that desire for food is so strong, that desire for water is so intense that that man can't stop thinking about anything else but his hunger and his thirst. And this state of hungering and thirsting is something even that causes pain. The body cries out for nourishment, and the throat becomes so dry that it becomes difficult to swallow. And this lack of food and water produces physical pain and even a mental anguish. Now, note that Jesus combines the two, hungering and thirsting, so that it's bad enough to hunger, but then to have to thirst at the very same time, probably the two most intense, strongest desires of the body, hunger and thirst. And Jesus uses this hungering and thirsting, this intense desiring, and says of that man, of that woman, blessed is that man, blessed is that woman, that child, who hungers and thirsts. Now, I trust you understand that Jesus here is not pronouncing a blessing upon everybody in the world who is hungering and thirsting. If that were the case, then everybody would be filled, because everybody in this world at some point in time goes through a state of hungering and thirsting. If Jesus were speaking in physical terms, then he'd be declaring a blessing upon every single person in this world, but that's not the case. Jesus is speaking about a particular kind of hungering and thirsting. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's their hunger. That's their thirst for righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Righteousness means to be straight, to be upright. It means that there is a certain standard that God has set up to which we must conform. And when we conform, then we may say that I am right before God. We say, what is that standard? Well, ultimately, that standard is Jehovah God himself. The Bible says that God is right. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And that standard of God, which we must measure up to, God also reveals then in his law, the Ten Commandments. The law demands that we must love God with our whole being, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love the neighbor as ourselves. This is the righteousness that God demands of us. But there's a problem with you and me. The problem is that we don't have that righteousness. The problem is that we cannot obtain that righteousness by our own efforts. This is something that you and I cannot obtain in and of ourselves. Because in and of ourselves, there is no righteousness. Scripture is very clear on this point. Psalm 14, there is none that doeth good. They are all gone aside. Altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that's a description of you and me. And not only is there none of that righteousness in us, but even us by nature, there is not even a desire for that kind of a righteousness. The scriptures speak rather that even all our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They're all as something that God regards as abominable and corrupt, things that ought to be cast away. And you think of the Pharisees during Jesus' day, they lived in an outward obedience, an outward righteousness, but Christ set the record straight comparing them to whitewashed sepulchres that are very beautiful on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones. So that no man can fulfill the requirements of God's law, because every man is dead in trespasses and sins. No righteousness in any man, for there is none righteous, no, not one. The only righteousness there ever is the righteousness of God. The only righteousness there ever is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because in Scripture, Christ and righteousness cannot be separated. The two are bound together inseparably. There is no other righteousness apart from the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God revealed in Jesus Christ, not in any other way. And it's only in Christ that we come to possess the righteousness which is approved of before God. Now, the scripture makes it very clear in the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, that Jesus Christ alone is our righteousness. So that Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Verse 6, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." A very clear prophecy of Jesus Christ. So that even righteousness is his very name, the Lord our righteousness. Righteousness is written large over every aspect of his person and work. He was the only one who lived righteously, the only one who knew no sin. He is the only one who measured up to the standard of God's law. And everything that Christ did and every thought of his mind measured up perfectly to God's law. So that you take the summary of the law, loving God perfectly, loving the neighbor as oneself, in there's only one man who measured up, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he obeyed the will of his Father, even when it meant the death of the cross for him. So that you cannot study the subject of righteousness without coming to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Blessed are they who are seized with that strong desire for righteousness. Blessed are they who are gripped with their tremendous need for righteousness, and then by implication, for Jesus Christ himself. So that we would do no injustice to the verse, to the text, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, by reading it this way: "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ." To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to hunger and thirst after the only righteousness there ever is, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is to be for us our food and drink. As much as food and water is nourishment for our physical bodies, so that you take that food and water away, and then what happens? Well, hunger and thirst arise instantly. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he is to be our meat and drink. Jesus speaks of himself as being the bread of life, John chapter 6. Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman, John chapter 14, of that water that only he can give, and when a man drinketh thereof, he will never thirst again. What a blessed thing when we say and when we confess that the Lord Jesus is my life. He is my meat. He is my drink. I hunger and thirst for him. I have an appetite for Jesus Christ. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, beloved, how's that going for you and for me? How's that going in this past week and in this week to come as we go on about our lives? What do we hunger for? What do we thirst for? What is the strong desire within our bodies and souls? Now, there are a lot of wrong things that we can desire. There are a lot of wrong things that we would crave after, when we would long for earthly comforts, for earthly vacation, earthly holiday. We hunger and thirst for a very comfortable standard of living. There's that strong desire for earthly things of whatever sort, jobs and clothing and possessions and riches of all kinds, of all sorts. And sometimes we can find ourselves thinking about these things, dreaming about these things, and we have to check ourselves and say that this isn't good for me. It isn't healthy for me to ponder these things. Now, there's nothing wrong with earthly possessions, nothing wrong with a vacation, with a holiday every now and then, but we do well to ask ourselves, at the end of the day, what is it that I truly crave? What is it that I'm hungry and thirsty for? I recognize I have a very strong and intense desire inside myself. What is it for? Until God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ becomes the singular desire of our souls, we will never truly be satisfied. We will never truly have happiness, no peace, no joy, until we have begun to hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And do we have the same desire for Jesus Christ and his righteousness as we do for physical food and physical drink? We all know what that feels like, the feeling of hunger, the feeling of thirst. We all know what it feels like to be famished when we have that gnawing pain in our bellies and we're really looking forward to supper time, when there'll be that good food on the table, anything for that water, for whatever drink, when we're very, very thirsty. Now, maybe we ought to do that this week. Maybe we ought to do that once a month. Maybe there's a good spiritual lesson we can learn from that biblical practice of fasting at the appropriate occasion, so that you skip a meal. Skip a meal. Now get your fluids, drink your water, but skip one meal and then notice how hungry you become. Notice in your body those desires, how it affects you so that you're not able to function properly. You're not even able to think properly. It affects the way that you interact with others. But what an intense and painful sensation that is. And then at that point, when you have skipped one meal, you say, I don't know if I can go on any longer. I got to have some food. I've got to eat something. And then at that moment, you sit down and think, I am so hungry. I have such a strong desire in my body for earthly food. Is this the same desire that I have for Jesus Christ? Is this the same kind of hungering and thirsting in my soul for righteousness and for spiritual things? If we are to enjoy a blessed life, to know the blessing of God and happiness of soul, then we must have this hunger and this thirst for Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And that leads us to the second point, then. What's the manner? How do we show in our lives that we do, in fact, hunger and thirst after righteousness? What does that look like in our lives? First, let's understand that we are even brought to the point of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That's due to the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness isn't something that we have naturally. It isn't something that's true of every single person in this world, but the Holy Spirit goes to work in our hearts, convincing and persuading us so that we come to the conclusion that I am not righteous before God on my own, and that I have no inherent righteousness of my own of any sort. I am a guilty sinner. And the Spirit convinces us of our own inability to produce any of our own righteousness to satisfy the justice of God. And the Spirit leads us to Christ, to behold him, to see his beauty, and so that we would confess Jesus and him alone. He is my righteousness. And at that point, what happens? Well, we are regenerated. And now we hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ. So how does this hungering and thirsting show itself in our lives? It shows from a point of view inwardly that you can't now see with the eye of the body, but inwardly, it's a desire in our hearts to be delivered from sin and the guilt of sin. Nothing less can satisfy our souls, so that when we see our sins, when we hate our sins, when we repent of our sins, that is a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. When we recognize that we are poverty stricken in and of ourselves, when we mourn because of our sins and all my misery, that is a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And whenever we pray, "Forgive me, O God, be gracious unto me, forgive all my sins, deliver me from guilt, deliver me from the shame of sin, deliver me from destruction," that is a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But then also from an outward point of view, a hungering and thirsting after righteousness is that we go forth and live in such a way that's pleasing to God. So that this is a hungering and thirsting after holy living, a strong desire to live holy, to pattern my life according to the good commandments that Jesus Christ has given me. True Christian contentment and the blessing of God is linked with holiness, so that it's impossible to claim to enjoy God and his righteousness and yet at the same time to be living in and enjoying sin. Can't happen, because the blessing of God and the joy of the Lord only belongs to those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Hungering and thirsting after holy living means a strong desire for that holy living. It means we'll speak and think and act like a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And isn't it the case that there's something wrong with the body if there's no appetite for food? If there's no thirst, then we say something's wrong with the body. Something's not going properly within our bodies. Well, so too in our spiritual lives. When there's no interest in Jesus Christ and following his word and obeying his commandments, then there's something seriously wrong. And people of God, is there that desire for the Savior in your heart this day? Do you have an appetite for righteousness, for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and then a desire to live according to all his good commandments? Now, we know we're not perfect. We still have sin which cleaves to us, but is it the hunger of your soul to live after the Lord Jesus Christ? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness then is to see the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to desire Him above all, and then to live in such a way that you and I make clear that I live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him. I'm His disciple. I love His word. I belong to Him. And therefore, I will follow all His good commandments. Hungering and thirsting after Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And finally, there is great blessedness for those who hunger and thirst after Jesus and His righteousness. This happiness or this blessedness is stated for us in the text in Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what specifically is that blessedness? For they shall be filled. This is the promise of God. When you have that good spiritual desire of hungering and thirsting after Jesus Christ and His righteousness, then you will never be left wanting. And you will never be disappointed, for they shall be filled. That happens from an earthly point of view, doesn't it? How many times has that happened to you? Maybe you've gone out to a restaurant. Maybe you go out to some event of whatever sort and you are famished. You are hungry and you are looking forward to having a good meal. But the food that's available, well, it's not all that it's cracked up to be. It's dry, it's bland, not nearly enough to satisfy your appetite, and what is there doesn't even taste good. And you leave at the end of that evening feeling disappointed, dissatisfied. Hungering and thirsting after Jesus Christ and His righteousness, you will never be disappointed. For He dwells in your hearts by the Spirit, assuring you that your sins are forgiven and that you are righteous before God only on the basis of His merits. For they shall be filled. Shall be filled. That's the promise of the Word of God. And that word means to be fed, to be satisfied. Their satisfaction, hungering and thirsting after Jesus Christ. And that means that in Jesus Christ, there is abundant provision for you and for me and for all of God's people from the beginning to the end of the world. And there will not be one left lacking. And that's what we read in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55 there in verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, spend ye your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligent unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. There is food and drink and abundant satisfaction for all those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ with a true and living faith. He will feed us. He will give us our fill, and we shall be satisfied. This is the satisfaction that the psalmist speaks of. In Psalm 63, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. This is the blessing that we enjoy now in this life. We are satisfied and we are filled with the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and we are not left lacking. And the way that we experience that now is through God's word. He gives us the Lord Jesus Christ. There will come the day when that will be perfected, when he brings us to heavenly glory. And I draw your attention to what the word of God states in the book of Revelation, chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 and 17, it speaks of the hungering that we will have in heaven and how that will be satisfied. Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So, will we have a spiritual appetite when we get to heaven? We will. And we will be fed by Christ himself, and he shall lead us to the living fountains of waters, an appetite that will never go away, but a hungering and a thirsting which will be continually satisfied because we'll be continually feasting on Jesus Christ and all of the blessings of salvation that he has merited for us. And what a day that will be, when we will inherit eternal glory and will be clothed with those white robes which are the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and to be fed by him into all eternity and to be satisfied in the depths of our souls. Do you desire blessedness and true happiness? Jesus says, blessed, happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. May God so grant it. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Apply it to our hearts. Feed us with thy word. Satisfy us with Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And grant, Father, that all the days of our earthly sojourn that we would hunger and thirst after those right things, that we would have that intense desire for Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Open our eyes to see our own unworthiness, our own sins, our own unrighteousnesses, and that therefore we would crave and long for the only righteousness there ever is, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for him, our Savior, and for his death on the cross to save us from all our sins. Bless us in the remainder of this worship service as we sing praises unto thy name. Keep and preserve us in this week, even all our lives, to the glory of thy name. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. We sing Psalter number 297. Psalter number 297. Note there at the latter half of stanza 3, the longing soul that turns to him, he fully satisfies, he fills with good each hungering one that for his mercy cries. Let's sing the three stanzas, all three, of Psalter number 297.
Amen.
Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.